Good morning. You know, over the centuries, there have been many groups of so-called Christians who have twisted scripture and focused in on one particular thing or another to as a key to their made-up doctrine. And this past week, I heard another one, a little bit disturbing. Now, for the past many weeks, we've been looking at Matthew and Matthew's focus on the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And so this week, I'm listening to the radio out in my workshop, and they're talking about a group who has come up with a new doctrine focused on the kingdom of God. And the idea is that Jesus will not come back until the church dominates the world and reestablishes God's kingdom. And it was just, they went on and detailed a lot of things that are in these people's doctrine. And he was careful not to call it a cult because there are believers in this group. But yet, this thing is taking over, especially the Pentecostal movement in many ways, and it's just very disturbing how we get away from scripture. And he pointed out many scriptures to refute what these people are doing, but we get away from scripture and we begin to twist things around so that we can have some benefit on our own instead of giving God glory and Christ the honor. So we're going to continue to talk about the kingdom, but in no way, shape, or form are we talking about what these people are talking about. We are talking about the kingdom of God, God being the king, God being the authority, and he will one day, in the midst of the chaos and turmoil of this earth, he will reestablish his kingdom through Jesus Christ on earth for 1,000 years. But in the meantime, God's kingdom still reigns here on earth, and he reigns in wherever you are doing God's will and be obedient to him. That is where the kingdom of God is, or the kingdom of heaven. So I want to focus on a passage of scripture this week. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about, in many ways, topical ideas of this kingdom of heaven. But I want to focus on a specific passage of scripture this morning and look at it and see what it says. So there's a couple things I want to bring out first. What is the difference between hearing and listening? What is the difference between hearing and listening? Now, I brought this up before. Hearing is a physiological function of the brain. Your brain is always hearing while you sleep, for example. Many years ago, my father came up with this beautiful old turn-of-the-century mantle clock. And the mechanism was in pretty good shape, so we had the local clocksmith repair it and clean it, and I proudly put it on a shelf in my house and kept it wound every 2 weeks. And you know how those things go. Every hour they chime the hour, and every half hour they chime the half hour. You know, after a while, you don't even hear it anymore. In our home here in Florida, we have Judy's mother's cuckoo clock. And, you know, cuckoo clocks, they're pretty noisy. You know, and every hour, all day long, all night long, this cuckoo clock, you know, chimes, cuckoos the hour, and then the half an hour. But, you know, what's really interesting, I don't even hear it. You could, even during the day, this thing goes, and you don't even hear it. Because what happens is, your brain is hearing, but it identifies this noise as normal, and so it dismisses it. So I'm laying in bed, and all night long this thing is going, and I don't even hear it. It doesn't bother me. Now, inevitably, when I was in Pennsylvania, and we would have guests over, the guests would always say, "Could you turn that clock off?" I'm like, "I don't hear it, you know? Yeah, I'll turn it off." My brain hears it, and it knows what it is and dismisses it as normal. How many times do you find yourself hearing something, probably from your spouse, but not knowing what they said. Oh yeah, I heard it, but what did you say? Jesus says in Matthew 13, anyone with ears should listen and understand. Let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, we as a people need to take seriously the things that you say. I pray that this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture, the things that you are teaching, we will understand and we will apply it to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 23. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. You will recognize this passage of Scripture, I'm sure. Matthew 13, verses 1 to 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will ever be hearing, but never understand. You will ever be seeing, but never perceive. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. How many of you have heard sermons on this passage of Scripture before? We probably should have all heard. But what is this parable about? Is it about the sower, the farmer spreading the seed? Is it about the seed, because that's what's being sown and growing? Or is it about the soil? Because Jesus identifies four different soils. So what we're going to do is just take a few minutes and look at this parable and try and really understand what Jesus is saying here. And I think as we go through this, you'll quickly understand. You'll see some things that maybe you haven't seen before. So the first thing we need to address is the elements of the parable. There is a farmer. He is going out and he is sowing the seed. He's hand scattering the seed. There's the seed. Now, if you've ever planted, you know, seeds are not cheap. Well, when you're going to plant a whole field, the seed, it becomes very valuable because you want to reproduce that seed and have a lot more grain and seed for the future. And then there's the seed falls on four different types of soils. Those are the elements of the story, the parable that Jesus is describing. Jesus then describes what happens to the seed that falls on the different types of soil. The first three are not good. The final soil produces a bumper crop. And typically, as we read this parable, we want to go and see what Jesus is talking about, so we skip right to the explanation of the parable. And here's what Jesus says. Starting at verse 18, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the words of this life and the deceitfulness of the wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil was someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Now, if you assume the parable is about the farmer, the sower, and, you know, it is subtitled The Parable of the Sower, isn't it? Then the view of the parable is like this. You are the believer in Christ, and you have the gospel message, and your job is to be the sower and scatter the seed wherever so that as many as possible will be exposed to it. Now, this sounds great. But Jesus himself tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, to be careful how you handle things that are sacred. Remember this throwing the pearls to swine? Now, I would say that the gospel is sacred. Now, what I'm not saying is that you should not spread the gospel. That's not what this is saying. You need to think about where you're spreading a gospel. The farmer scattering the seed by hand. It's not a precise way to scatter the seed. It goes into places that it shouldn't and places he probably doesn't want. The seed, after all, is valuable. He really doesn't want it on the path. I'm sure he doesn't want it on rocky places. I'm sure he doesn't want it in the thorns. He would rather the seed all be in good soil. So this parable is not about the sower, and sermons should not be based on the farmer in this passage. That is not what this is about. Secondly, if we assume it's about the seed, because after all, that is what he's scattering, and it is what is growing, then we have to view the parable like this. The seed is the message of salvation that is being scattered all around the world. It's tiny. It contains life, and when activated in the right person, produces abundant fruit. Absolutely true. The potential is there, but it seemingly has no effect by its random scattering, and only some of it returns a good crop. In Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, Isaiah writes this, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return empty to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Jesus would have known this passage of Scripture when he shared this parable. And, you know, he is the Son of God after all. So, therefore, the parable cannot be about the seed. It has to be about something else. Third, if we assume it's about the soils, because in reality, Jesus' explanation is about the reaction of the seed in the different soils, then we have to view the parable like this. God, through us, is indiscriminately scattering the gospel in places that he knows it will have very little effect. The soil describes how each person received the knowledge of the kingdom of God, and most of the time, it has very little effect. And I would say the most logical challenge I've ever heard when they've used this as the focus of this parable, the challenge would be, what kind of soil are you? But you know, right, folks, that's not what this parable is about. Matthew 13, verse 3. Jesus starts his parable, and he says, "A farmer went out to sow his seed." Now, one of the things I found very interesting when researching this was that's what the NIV says. But when you go back to the Greek, that's not what the Greek says. The Greek starts out, "Behold," or "listen." So here's Jesus. He is sitting by the shore. And he's going to teach. And the crowd is so big, he gets in a boat for his own safety probably, and begins to teach them. Let me find my place here. Now, if you have King James, you will see that it says "behold" or "listen," probably "behold" in the King James. And for 1900 years, that's the way our Bibles read. And it's only been recently that this word has been removed, because older texts of the New Testament have been found in different parts of the world. Now, I believe it's a mistake to remove this, and I'll tell you why. I'm not a translator. I'm not a theologian. But I believe it was a mistake to remove this. So, the crowd is so large that Jesus gets into a boat and teaches the people from its safety. And I can hear him saying in a loud voice, "Listen!" To get their attention so they will listen to him. Then he proceeds with the parable. Look at verse 9. He ends the parable with, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." And then we get to verse 10, the disciples. They have get them alone, and we can hear the frustration in their voice. Why do you use parables to talk to the people? Because this is probably the first time he is now using parables to talk to these people. And Jesus' answer is very interesting. He says, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but not them." Then, before explaining the parable, he gives its true meaning. Now, why would he say, "not them"? What was the crowd there to see? That's the key word here. They wanted to see a show. They wanted to see miracles. They wanted to see what Jesus was going to do. Healing people, casting out demons, these kind of things. And Jesus says, "The secrets of the kingdom of heaven is for you, but not for them, because they're not listening. You are." So let me just read this to you. "To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge." You know what he's doing? He's describing the fertile soil. "To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge." The key word here is listening. If you're listening, you are going to get an abundance of knowledge about the kingdom of heaven. That is the fertile soil. "But," he says, "those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." He is describing the other three soils. That is why I use parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. You know what I hear in this? I hear Jesus saying, why should I throw out something sacred to people who don't care? That's what I'm hearing. If they really want to grasp what I'm saying, they're going to listen, and then greater understanding will be given to them. So he speaks in parables. If they really want to know what's going on, they're going to get it because they're listening. But all those people on the shore, they wanted to see a show. They didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. The parable is about how you receive the sacred gospel of Jesus Christ. What condition is your heart? Is it a hard footpath that nothing penetrates? You hear it, but nothing penetrates it. Is it rocky soil that when struggles come, you abandon the message? It's just too difficult. I don't want to live like this. Or is the message choked out by your concerns, your worries, your need for money, these kind of things, all these things of the world, so that it has no effect on you? Yeah, you may have heard it, but it doesn't have any effect on you because so many things are worrying you and concerning you that it just has no effect. You see, all three of these are people who hear but are not really interested in listening. All three of these are people who choose to not allow the kingdom of God to impact their lives. All three of these reveal the condition of their hearts who have been exposed to the knowledge of the kingdom of God. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that you and I have the ability to suppress the truth. And you know the odds in the parable are 3-1. The majority of people, like that huge crowd in the bank, they want to see a show. They didn't want to listen to what Jesus had to say. It's their choice, and God knows who they are, but gives them the opportunity anyway. So there's Jesus. He's given them the opportunity, but he's speaking in parables. If they really want to listen and really want to know, they're going to understand it. And then we get to Matthew 13, verse 16. And remember, he's talking with the disciples. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Unlike the people on the shore, the disciples, even though they were struggling to understand what was going on, they were seeing and they were listening. They wanted to know what Jesus had to say, unlike the crowd. So what is this parable about? It's about how you choose to receive the knowledge of the kingdom of God. Not only that, but what you choose to do with that knowledge. This is about your choice. How do you receive the knowledge of the kingdom of God? What do you do with that seed? Where does it go? What is the condition of your heart? If you are willing to listen and understand, you will place that seed in good soil and it will produce a crop maybe more than 100 times more than what was planted. We have to really seriously think about that in our lives, folks. That reproduction of the seed will be evidence of what's in your heart. Jesus is condemning the people. He said, I'm going to put the seed out there. What are you going to do with it? If it doesn't reproduce, then you better examine your heart, because maybe you're not listening and maybe you're not understanding. So the application for today is simple. You can't listen and understand if you're not communicating with God through Jesus Christ. This is done through a healthy prayer life and regular study of God's Word. You can't get around it. If you have no interest in listening to God, then your prayer life and your studying of God's Word will not be a priority in your life. But if you really want to know what God is saying and you want to apply it to your life, then your prayer life and your scripture reading, study of God's Word, should be a regular thing. We need to listen and receive the knowledge of the kingdom of God. Now, if you're struggling with that, then show Jesus how serious you are by seeking out somebody to study and pray with on a regular basis. He put us in community for a reason. And if we're struggling with this, find somebody, a friend, talk to them. Say, listen, I want to look at God's Word. I want to study it. I need you to help me. Let's do it in community. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Almighty God, that you are deeply interested in our souls, so much so that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to begin the process of sharing about the kingdom of heaven, a place that really, truly, in each and every person on this planet, that's where they want to be, but yet they don't want to make the sacrifices to be there. They want to live their own life and control their own destiny. Father, I pray that for each of us in this room today, that we will think about what we are hearing. I pray that we are all listening, that we will listen to your word, whether it's through reading and study of your word, whether it's through advice of mature Christian friends, from your Holy Spirit pushing us in a certain direction, whatever it may be, Almighty God, I pray that we would listen and respond. And we would receive the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven planted in good soil and watch it flourish and grow in everything around us. Father, we are to be a reflection of your glory and your goodness to those around us. Let this be the case. Let us open our ears and open our eyes so that you can work through us, Almighty God. Father, I pray for all of us, and I ask that if there are people here this morning who need your intervention in their life, I pray that they would seek someone out to pray with and talk with, whether it's one of the elders or another mature believer. Lord, we are waiting and willing to help and to guide so that we all can have a greater understanding of the kingdom of heaven and its King, you, Almighty God. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's everybody stand if you can.